listen, cause you'll be so happy. A podcast is random talk on this and on that. What did you expect from potatoes and fat? Yeah, what did you expect from potatoes and fat?
Hello, my name is Addy, and this, live on air, is Spud.
It's Tuesday night. It's Spud Addy.
Yes, it is Tuesday night. The importance of the day. I'm glad you remembered that.
Oh, good. I did it just for you.
It's topical.
Just
to make, yeah. I've put my tie on, not because I necessarily look good with the tie, but because I just thought the white shirt was a bit too white. And I thought, let's break it up a little bit. First of all, with this Spud Addy background, with this little 12 Doctor pants, and now my tie.
Cool. Well,
ties are stupid. I once watched this thing, or read this thing, that said if aliens ever came to Earth and were kind of going around trying to understand humanity, the one thing they wouldn't understand about the human race would be ties.
I read something that it all is about pointing at male genitalia.
Really? This is like an arrow to the Addy.
Yes, it's all about, oh yes, yes, look at my penis, everyone. Look at my, this is a stripy red and white arrow to my penis.
No, that's silly, surely.
It made some good points, none of which I can remember right now. But I was like, well, it is like an arrow.
Look at mine.
It's like an arrow, and it does point towards your penis. So it has to be something.
I read once that, you know, a human heart shape. I read once that a human heart shape is not actually the shape of a human heart, because I always looked in biology and went, that's not really heart shape, but it's actually the shape of a attractive, voluptuous woman turned around, bent over, away from the camera, don't think.
Oh.
You know, that kind of...
Well, that's not bad. In my book, I don't mind. But I'm quite, you know, sexy pig, so I don't really mind about this.
Right, so... hopefully we'll talk about lots of different things tonight, but I wanted to start, and some of you have seen this on Twitter, I'm sure. I wanted to talk about Doctor Who again, because Doctor Who on Saturday, I felt, was a pretty controversial episode, because I felt it drew lots of parallels with ISIS and terrorism and immigration and things, and I felt it hit too close to the home, and I didn't like it. And in my review show, Doctor Who review show, which I have on Sundays, I tried to praise the episode for its kind of scripting and its kind of drama and acting and things like that, but I really didn't like the kind of what I felt were overt associations. But since then, loads of you guys have very nicely put comments on my YouTube video, which has gone up on YouTube, and I'd like to spend a good chunk of today's episode kind of reading through some of your comments and kind of discussing them with Spud and things like that, because, you know, like I always say in my Doctor Who reviews, it is hugely... subjective, and lots of people have kind of obviously have gone, what's the problem? Lots of people have kind of gone, no, it was a good thing, and some of you have gone, you know, yeah, I agree with you. So we'll continue this debate for at least a kind of chunk of the show. So but Spud, if I just hand over to you first of all, what was your view, you know, the good and the bad? Give us a few minute review of Doctor Who for you.
Well, really quickly, I'd like to apologise if anyone can hear the industrial firework display that's happening out my back garden, apparently, because it's really loud. If you can't hear it, good for you, because I can. Doctor Who, I thought, well, we briefly discussed it yesterday. You just asked me what I thought.
But our hundreds of millions of viewers weren't there.
Our dozens and dozens of viewers. Yes, but...
Handfuls of Spud Addy fans.
We more or less agreed, because you asked me and I was like, oh... I thought it was so heavy-handed with the message that it couldn't have been any more heavy-handed if Capaldi turned to the camera and winked or did a little smile. Do you understand that it's about immigration and stuff like that to the camera? I thought it was so heavy-handed. But even going more into the lore of Doctor Who and the character of the Doctor, I thought it was quite poor in those regards as well. There's one particular bit, you know, if you're not counting the execution videos and stuff like that. If you're going purely into the
videos,
but the Doctor didn't seem to care about killing, which that's the bit that I can't keep coming back to.
Which bit of the episode was that?
It was they were just about to walk into where the training camp was, and he was like, "Oh, try not to kill all of them because I need one to talk to find out their plan." It's like, when would the Doctor say that? Could you imagine Tennant's Doctor turning around and saying, hey, if you're going to kill everyone, try and save you? No, he wouldn't say that. He just didn't seem to care, almost. He cared about Osgood and stuff like that, but he didn't, you know what I mean? He didn't, he's always been about equality of all life, like alien or human, considering he's not human himself, and etc. It's just that didn't. So if you take away all the political stuff from it, even that was like, oh. And Dr. Disco. Yes, it's good if it was the 11th or the 10th yeah. Doctor, but not grumpy old man Capaldi that I loved last season.
Obviously, because those of you listening on podcast, thank you so much. But we do have a live Twitch channel while we're doing here. And Style has said it was a sarcastic comment and he didn't want to kill any of them. Which is, I must admit, I didn't take it as sarcasm. However, you know, sarcasm is a difficult thing to read.
Yes, but it's not exactly the greatest time to start being sarcastic when someone is going to go and kill loads of people, or loads of people are going to go and kill another loads of people. The 10th Doctor wouldn't have been sarcastic. No, we might have done before stopping everyone and everyone's peaceful.
The 12th Doctor, I think, would have been a lot more kind of like, you know, no one dies today, you know, type thing.
Yeah, the 10th Doctor, the 11th Doctor, both of them would have, and it, considering, you know, it is essentially the same person with a different personality, same morals, et cetera, et cetera. You know, the 11th Doctor went mental when they were travelling on a whale in outer space. Literally bonkers. And but you can't talk about two people just about to walk in. Considering he gets where the terrorist Zygons are coming from, you know, they don't want to have
And also,
you know,
he kind of created that situation as well.
Yeah, but he's happy for everyone to go in guns blazing and die. And even, sorry, it's loads of spoilers if no one has seen it. When the stupid, stupid, stupid soldiers were going to walk into the church or wherever it was, the building, after they went through all their training about Zygons and still fell for it, like the worst soldiers ever, he didn't even do anything about that. They were blatantly walking to their death. And he was like, so I'm going to go around the back and check around the back. It's like, what? No. It's not Capaldi. Like you said, Capaldi's brilliant. He's a very good actor, and he's good when he's on screen. And, you know, not many actors could slide down the slide and talk intense dialogue to 2 6-year-old twins, but he did it. It was good, but my review is I'm having trouble thinking of the worst episode off the top of my head of Doctor Who.
Let's focus on I felt it had big parallels to ISIS and immigration and terrorism. And let's focus on that aspect of it, because that was the focus of my main review. And that's what most people have kind of commented on the YouTube channel. So I'm just going to thank you so much for everyone that watches on YouTube, and especially thank you to those of you who comment. Some of you, I think, have your YouTube privacy settings set a bit too strictly, and I can't actually reply to some people's comments. And there's a few people above where I haven't actually been able to kind of say. About it's something to do with when you do a public comment is whether people can actually kind of reply to it. But this is from Sharon. Thank you, Sharon. And Sharon said, this episode, as it could be related to current events, would be deeply disturbing. But what you have to keep in mind, though, is that this was probably written a full year ago and was probably filmed in the spring. This was planned and set up in the anniversary show long before we had this immigration crisis. I agree that, as seen through the filter of today's news, it just felt like a wrong message for the sci-fi platform of Doctor Who, but I will wait final judgment until the conclusion. I agree that the current immigration crisis, we weren't knowing about, you know, the stuff with people, you know, in the water, but the ISIS stuff's been going for a while now, and the general kind of immigration debate has been going ever since kind of... Well, probably 5 or 10 years now.
It's been a long while. I mean, since Al Qaeda and execution videos and et cetera, yeah. So it's been going on a very long while,
But I do think there's that question about final judgment until the conclusion. I mean, it is the one of the problems is we are watching half of an episode or half of a storyline. So it might well be, you know, that after today, you kind of. You know, after we watch next week's episode, we kind of go, oh, that's what they were kind of going for. And you kind of look at it more of a package. But right now, we haven't seen the conclusion. So we're just kind of going on the half they were giving us. And it all, for me, the whole thrust of this episode was negativity or a very one-sided viewpoint that outsiders are bad. So I'm not sure. I do take the point that certainly the immigration crisis, the migrant crisis or the refugee crisis was probably not foreseeable, but some of the other bits were. Would you agree?
Yes. I mean, I think they knew more than maybe we think. Because there's the flag, the Zygon flag is a black background with the white claw mark or whatever. And the ISIS, what they're using is black background with the white text. I mean, that's very... I mean, was that an accident? You're trying to tell me that was an accident?
Can't get a picture of the Zygon flag up on here.
It's like a sideways claw on a black background. But it was, as soon as I looked at it...
The ISIS flag?
Yeah, the ISIS is an Islamic blessing on a black background. Also, I'm told, because I can't read Islamic things.
That's not very rude and inappropriate. Whoa! Oh, I should stop doing Google searches live. Well, that was a bad plan.
I don't know what you just typed in. It wasn't Penn Island, was it? Because I did that one. Someone got me with that one. And I was like, whoa! Anyway. Yeah, so... The black background with the white text, that was blatantly meant. It couldn't not have been meant, surely. I mean, it's the same, you know, take away the text and replace it with a Zygon hand, in my opinion. It was just a little bit. He didn't need to do.
Dr. Kazoo says, and this is an interesting counterview on it. Dr. Kazoo says, what the heck is wrong with a fear the alien message? I don't understand your position. ISIS certainly is to be feared and despised and fought and defeated. They are the enemies of freedom and democracy and decency all over the world. In America, immigrants, the illegal ones only, are also to be feared. They are filthy and dirty and violent, and they do wipe out communities. Yes, they are people too, but so what? They are bad people. The immigration situation in Britain may be different, though. I know nothing about it. Now, thank you to Dr. Kazoo. I think the first point about, you know, what the heck is wrong with a fear the alien message is a fair point, because certainly I'm kind of, I guess what I'm kind of used to seeing in programs like kind of BBC and especially kind of children's programs is like that kind of viewpoint that's very kind of very liberal, that's very kind of like, you know, hey, everyone's human, everyone needs to kind of get along, it doesn't matter what everyone is or where they come from, you know, we can be friends, you know, Barney, I love you, you love me, kind of viewpoint. But
that's really good.
Thank you. But of course, you know, a lot of people make big political careers and passionately believe that the alternative, you know, what, you know, such as, you know, that you should look after yourself first and your own country first, your own friends first, and then everything else is, you know, the outsiders are outsiders. So should I be necessarily upset when there's a program that seems to support a political view other than my own? Which is a fair point. I mean, maybe I should just need to kind of go, you know, this was a program for Republicans or a program for conservatives rather than a program for liberals. What do you think?
Well, I'm going to, I have to explain this because I don't want to come across as a bigoted. Right. I don't believe in left-wing, right-wing labels. I think you can pick good ideas from both sides of the argument and come with the perfect idea, which suits everyone maybe not suits everyone, but suits everyone as much as it needs to suit them, which is a long way of saying something. Sorry. Anyway, so I more or less agree with Dr. Kazoo, what he said. I think the whole ISIS thing is, you know, bad, and I think we should have more control. But I don't need it on my family Doctor Who program with my family. I don't think that's the place. Even though I actually agree with more so than you do. I mean, we've agreed to disagree, but I get the message, and I, you know, in England, do you know where Dr. Kazoo is from?
No, I don't, but it says the immigration situation may be different. So I think we can assume he's, you know.
Right. I mean, in England, there's this big, strong sense that all these immigrants are actually all coming to England. That's where they're actually leaving their countries from. There's just very much, that's what it's like in the papers in the UK. So, considering that's a UK-based program, I'm assuming the writer's English as well, that on a family basis, it, even though if I agree with something, it doesn't need to be rammed down our throats that hard on a family entertainment. It should be light entertainment. Good drama, you know, you can have dark aspects, but I don't watch Doctor Who for that, which is cool if it had a, I don't know if it was on another planet or something, but it was just the strong, I don't need it. Even if I agree with it, I don't need it. You know what I mean?
Where I disagree with Dr. Kazoo is the second half where he talks about that immigrants are to be feared, that being filthy, dirty, and violent and wipe out communities. Because I think that there are aspects of immigration that cause communities real problems, and you can't, you know, ignore that. But most immigrants are people looking for a better life, and refugees are certainly people looking for a better life. And yes, that has a big impact on the countries where they go to, but I don't think that immigrants in themselves or refugees in themselves are bad people. I mean, the argument I've often kind of had a discussion with Claire is that, you know, if we were the people that lived in the other countries, the chances are that we would be the people then kind of going, our country is either sucks or is dangerous, and we would be the one trying to come here. And you can kind of, I know that obviously with the current migrant crisis, you can see people literally, not all of them, obviously, but you can see people literally walking for days and days and days on foot or risking deadly voyages by boats. They're so desperate to get out of whatever situation they're in. And I think what bothered me with the Doctor Who message with the Zygons is that it reinforced the message that that all outsiders are dangerous. I mean, where I felt they were going to go right at the beginning of the episode was they were going to go down a message of some Zygons are dangerous and they're converting the Zygons that aren't dangerous into being dangerous people. So we need to take out the dangerous Zygons, you know, and I'm still suspicious that the main story may end up like that, which would kind of have a parallel with kind of like extremist religious people and non-extremist religious people. And it's the extremists that are dangerous and the non-extremists need to be kind of helped and educated and, you know, that kind of aspect. I assumed that the show would go down that kind of message, but actually the message that I had by the end of the episode was that actually all outsiders are dangerous. And I felt that is a message that would actually further divide communities rather than help to heal wounds and reconcile.
The problem with this is that what you're saying and what Dr. Kazoo's saying.
In fact, Dr. Kazoo's in the chat.
Oh, right. Hi, Dr. Kazoo. You're both right. I mean, I have seen with my own eyes in the UK where communities have been completely changed by too much immigration, too fast, bringing their own cultures and their own whatever. I'm not alienating any one particular religion or another or any type of people, but the place looks completely different. And, you know, that is too much too quickly. And that's not immigration at that point, because there's always the problem that you can't have a multicultural society and immigration, because they literally do not match up. You know, immigrating into our society or having your own cultures and society, it's very hard to do. But you're completely right, because they're not. If I was in a terrible, terrible country and I had my children that I loved, I'd be like, we're out of here. The UK is supposed to be awesome. Let's go there. Canada's supposed to be awesome. Let's go there. Yeah. United States is supposed to be awesome. Let's go. Germany, that's supposed to be awesome. Let's go. I wouldn't want to stay there. I mean, it's easy for me to say that because I'm already in one of the dimension countries, but I would do anything to get out of those situations. But from his point of view, which is also true, some people aren't actually immigrants. So a lot of male single people are coming over and they're not, they don't need as much help, or they get to a country and they're like, oh no, this country's not good enough, even though I'm safe and I'm not being bombed and I've got food. No, let's go to an even better country. And they just, you know, they're just at that point. So you're both completely right. It's just an impossible situation, but you don't need it on Saturday. Yeah. Family entertainment. You don't need this discussion. You need it on question time.
When you have a show like Doctor Who, which has to be accessible to children as well as adults, you can deal with dark stuff and you can deal with interesting timey-wimey concepts, but I'm not sure it's the place where you can have a complex debate about the different people and different motivations and different. Do you know what I mean? I think this is just too complex to be dealt with the Zygon parallel.
I think you can, but you have to dilate it so much on a different planet, two different, completely different species, and there has to be a good moral outcome at the end, which is probably the liberal left wing, because that's the most idealistic thing. The right, even though it's safer and harsher, and you know, you may agree with it, you may not agree with it, but that is not the place for kids, because it's the brutal realist, you know.
The other issue is that
it's Earth, it's current time.
Giving the human Zygon comparison, you're actually then saying these people, or even I should say, are actually a completely different species rather than people that have been brainwashed. Or I mean, my view on ISIS is that ISIS are, you know, extremely dangerous and horrible. The leaders in that place are, you know, deeply, deeply, you know, messed up people. But I also think that, you know, you hear about kind of school kids going off from Britain to join ISIS, and I'm sure those kids aren't evil, but they're brainwashed.
They've been induced into a very early age.
Yeah, normally. I mean, I don't feel those people to me are like Zygons. I feel that they are they are humans whose upbringings have gone really badly wrong. And I think to kind of use the kind of human Zygon comparison makes them feel, you know, it almost kind of then makes you able as a human being to kind of go, they're a Zygon, so they're worthless. You know, get the guns. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but then that clashes with Doctor Who, who's all about everyone's equal, everyone deserves to live, and he's going to do everything he can to stop that. And I get what everyone's saying, but I just think they could have handled it so much better. That just the flag, just that alone, it's like, why did it have to be the white on the black, just like ISIS? I know it doesn't say in Islamic prayer, but come on, it's blatantly, you know, you batter him over the head with a hammer. It's in present day, it's in London, it's a UK show, it could be in an alien world, it's completely different, and it would have not been so iffy, for lack of a better term.
Agrajag's given a counter-argument in the chat up here, which is maybe we do need it on a Saturday children's show if it gets discussions and understanding going. Nothing else seems to work at the moment. Which is a fair point. I mean, I've got
that's a very good
lot of you guys know I'm an RE teacher at school, which is like kind of philosophy and ethics. Well, it's philosophy and ethics. And, you know, a lot of the kids that I teach have very extreme views. I think kids as a whole tend to have extreme views, and then as you get old you get kind of mellower. But when you're a child, you know when you're a kid, you kind of like, you either love something or you hate it, whether it's ice cream or a movie or something, like, you know, everything's either 10 out of 10 or 0 out of 10. And most of the kids I know have an extreme view about things like immigration or different religions. You know, they either absolutely hate them and hate migrants, or they're absolutely like, or they're like, you know, these are real people, we have to let them in, we have to take as many as we possibly can, you know. And I think the Agrajag's got a fair point that maybe, you know, there needs to be more debates about it with the kids to help both sides of those debate realize they are other sides.
Yeah, true. Yes, I get where that's coming from. But maybe not so heavy-handed. It's just the heavy-handedness of it all. It was really heavy-handed. Really heavy-handed.
I don't know, seeing people's comments, I'm kind of second guessing myself. I mean, my initial reaction was, this is appalling. Why are they trying to replicate, you know, execution videos? My second thought point was very similar to yours about, you know, should this be here? And I did a Jeff Goldblum speech, you know, just because you could, did you stop to think about whether you should? But I don't know, I'm softening. Dan Franklin says that song at the start was great. Thank you very much. Monty Hedstrom says, if it's social commentary, what is the takeaway message supposed to be? Yeah, and I think that's my issue as well. Is, I mean, obviously, Dr. Gazoo here is saying, you know, the takeaway message is fine. You know, the takeaway message is true. For me, I feel the takeaway message is a further dividing one rather than an attempted reunited one.
Well, we don't really know yet, because next week, I mean, like you, I've got a prediction on my mind of what's going to happen, and I don't know if I should say it or not, but I think that's going
to spoiler.
Okay. Well, no, it's not a spoiler. If it's a prediction, I have no evidence or proof that this is going to happen. I'm just going with the flow of where the story's going. But we don't know what the real takeaway message is until next week.
There's a guy here called Todd Schwartzberg who I'd love to reply to his comment, but his privacy settings mean I can't. So if Todd, if you're watching this either on YouTube or anything like that, please change them so I can reply. He said, I definitely enjoyed this one better than last week's, much as you did. For sure, I saw the parallels to modern day. One of the last times I've seen that back in general was back in the 1970s or so. Movies Planet of the Apes, with the hierarchies to the simian subspecies, gorilla, military, chimpanzee, pacifist, orangutan, scientist, politician, etc. I like the hybrid idea. They're definitely working towards something. Maybe something to do with this Minister of War teased in Under the Lake / Before the Flood. Definitely also redoing the enemy in the friend in the enemy idea with the Bonnie, the Zygon, Clara thing. That's a fair point. I do like themes, and there are quite a few of them coming out. That's well spotted, Todd. I saw the same things you did, but maybe living in the US, it's not that close to home for me, so I have a bit of detachment. Also, I was entertained more by the general fact that it was good Doctor Who sci-fi, so it all helped my detachment and enjoyment of the episode. Funniest part of the episode for me was Bonnie / Clara and the Doctor while he was titillating the friends of the Zygon control column. Do you want to be alone with that thing? I used to snog a Zygon, old habit, still got the old magic.
I do love a good reference to past Doctor Who's. I do. Oh, I was like, oh, I know he's talking about. That's brilliant. Oh, that's a good comment, but I thought the episode was so bad that I couldn't detach myself from the hammering over the head of the parallel.
If I take away my ethical objections to it, I don't think that the episode was that bad. I mean, I heard your objections earlier, but my arguments on the strengths would be that it was that the pacing was fast throughout. It was one of those, like, you know, keep going episodes. You had sexy evil Clara.
Oh, Yes, I have to be careful. I don't know where Mrs. Spud is, but yes.
You had, you know, the standard. You had the good quality Doctor kind of, you know, tease and bait and switch of, you know, you think it's going to be this, but actually that. And, you know, some people have said they're overly predictable about that policeman woman being a Zygon and Clara being a Zygon. But I'm not very good at spotting twists, to be honest. But either way, they had some nice kind of twitches going on. There was it was quite dark in places. You know, you had the human bodies in the trash cans, and you had the execution video. So if I wasn't going, oh my God, this is real life portrayed as Saturday night entertainment, I don't think it was bad. I think I agree more with Todd that it was the episode itself was decent. What would you say?
I didn't like it. Oh, I thought the Doctor didn't act like the Doctor. I thought there was lots of pointless bits. I mean, considering the last few episodes, it's the Doctor and Clara have hardly been together, and that whole relationship is one of the most interesting things. And the bit where what's her name, the leader of UNIT, I can't remember her name, Heather, when she went away to the town, when she went away to the town, that whole bit was completely pointless. Like it was so blatant she was a Zygon, and even if she wasn't a Zygon, it was still pointless. She was there doing some research over nothing in particular. Some British people come, what's this got to do with anything? It's just tried to make it into a global thing more than it needed to be.
I agree that they need to get some more Doctor and Clara stuff together, especially if she's leaving soon, because the Doctor seems to kind of not see her very much and then kind of go, but I'm going to miss you. But if they had spent more time together, you might have spotted the Zygon thing earlier. But even just from a viewer's point of view, it's going to be hard. If at some point the Doctor's going to be devastated that she's gone, then they need to have more interaction.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I get where he's being more soft towards her. There's lots of bits throughout there that is completely contrast to last season. I think the Christmas special was the breakthrough moment for them. But we need more if it's going to have an impact when she, you know, she eventually goes and stuff.
A guy called Robert Rose here, and I think Robert has made a absolutely fair point. Hi, love your reviews. Thanks, Robert. Cheers. You seem to be saying a story which reflects true life events which are sad should not be used for entertainment or Doctor Who. If so, then Doctor Who should not feature death or war as these happen in real life, but I'm sure you have liked these episodes with these, e.g. Under the Lake featured a death. And then a gentleman, excuse me if I pronounce this one wrong, sorry, a Dalias or Dalias, says, good fiction has always drawn on real life inspirations of its time. It's vital for the genre. Lots of monsters in Doctor Who are based on real world people, things or beliefs, e.g. Daleks under the Nazis, and Cybermen are inspired by fear of modern technology, etc. If nothing contemporary is ever used in fiction to comment on real world things, there would be no Daleks, no Captain America, and so on. And in terms of horrible things done to other people, the Nazis still beat out ISIS.
You've got some really good comments tonight. Your view is very good at writing comments. This is probably more aimed at you, because I don't think that it shouldn't ever be tackled or done. I just think it should not be so heavy-handed. You know, like the Cybermen is not blatantly obvious, like here's an ISIS flag, kind of blatantly obvious kind of thing. It just needs to be not so heavy-handed, so you're like going, oh, that's a bit, you know, that's really drawing upon that. But yeah, and you know, and there's the amount of time. Again, maybe it's because we're in the UK and this is in our faces all the time, and there's a lots of scaremongering that's covering real concerns, and you know, there's so many arguments involving the thing. Maybe that's why. But I just think it's not tackling the subject. It's tackling the subject in such a close to home, heavy-handed approach.
Yeah, I think both Robert and Dalias have made really good points, and I can't fault the logic, you know, that, you know, Doctor Who has to have feature death or war, and I find, you know, very dark episodes very entertaining. For me, maybe it's the timing. You know, if this was a crisis that had, you know, if this was, say, about the Iraq War, you know, something that was, you know, 10 years ago, or even something, you know, even maybe 5 years ago, you're like, oh, let's maybe like the assassination of bin Laden, you know, something that's kind of over, and then kind of saying, you know, hey, let's think about this again. I wouldn't have a problem with it. But I also said, think that what Dalis has said in the second bit, if nothing contemporary is ever used in fiction to comment on real world events, that they would be, you know, blah, 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 blah. And actually, I don't have a problem at all with fiction commenting on real life events. But I still don't like this. I think it's things like the execution video, for example. No one other than perhaps ISIS themselves is sitting around kind of going, you know, well, you know, maybe there's a good side to execution videos. You know, maybe there's a logical reason why they did that, or, you know, something like that. You know, everyone thinks those things are appalling. So I don't see why that needs to be in there for to kind of pass social comment or starting a debate about execution videos. You know what I mean? Those things are just appalling. Raising a debate about how ISIS had started, you know, and how the history of what's happened in the Middle East has caused these groups to start up, that I wouldn't have a problem with that one. Or if it was like a debate just about immigration, although I think that would be tough, you know, showing a two-sided debate about it would be, I think I'd be a lot more up for that. I think like you're saying, it's the heavy-handedness and perhaps even the clumsiness of kind of throwing in things like the execution video and other bits that makes me feel a lot more uncomfortable about it.
Yeah, it's almost lazy that it's so blatant where other things... I mean, I'd be devastated if Captain America went away tomorrow, but there's a lot of time has gone past from that. And even, you know, there's a couple of things, upcoming Marvel movie of the Civil War is like a real moral dilemma for people who do know about that storyline. Mm. But it's not so heavy-handed. You just have to think about it to draw it to real-life comparisons. But as long as you think about those things, you realise that you're actually having an opinion about real things anyway when you do think about those things. Just, again, a very long way of saying things, sorry. The execution video. The doctor was saying, oh, you know, well, let me talk to them. You know, I kind of get where they're coming from. You know, they don't want to be repressed anymore. I just need to talk to them. But they were executing people and making videos of them. So I get you. That is a very good point, which I didn't think about. That, you know, even saying they've got a point in these people in that respect, well, they haven't, because they're executing people and they're killing people in masses. So, and then because it's so heavy handed, then that therefore that creates a little bit of scaremongering, especially in the UK.
The Shadow 712 has said a few times in the chat that maybe we're just reading into too much into this story, and especially reading too much into the half the story. I mean, it is entirely possible that these comparisons that I'm drawing were either unintentional or were very much kind of like a starting point from a story. And especially, I mean, like, I did consider turning this episode off, and I didn't get anywhere near actually putting my hand on the button or anything like that. So I don't think I actually would have done, but certainly in the second half of the story, the comparisons became less and it became more about just kind of action adventure. Although I do agree with you, Spud, that there was that silly bit with all these highly trained soldiers who are trained to deal with Zygons kind of going, Mama!
answer this one question, Mum, and then I don't have to shoot you.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot. I don't want to answer that question. Stupid soldiers.
I've lost my track of thought. What was I saying? I can't remember. But I'm sure it was a very good point.
The second half was more action orientated than the first half, which was
So to go with what Shadow was saying, I mean, maybe I'm reading too much into it because maybe not all of the story was going in. But the problem was is that the bits that I have issues with was the background to the whole story. So therefore, even when you got to more the action orientated bits, it's still like, yeah, but these people are here for the reason, which I feel is a comparison to real life.
I disagree with you. I think every time you started to just trying to get into the story more, it would slap me around the face and go, it's about immigration. Don't forget it's about immigration. they had the big, big bit, which the execution video, and there was all these little flags everywhere, which the two main things that annoyed me. But then there was the bit where Clara or whatever she was at that point was saying about, oh, middle-aged, it's because you're middle-aged. And the other character was like, well, oh, all middle-aged people think the world's going to end. And what are you trying to say there? You're obviously trying to say that everyone thinks, oh, you know, this is the end of the UK as we know it, all this immigration. And then even on the plane, I forgot about most of it, when he had the Zygon on the plane and you knew that Clara was a Zygon and all that stuff, he had a little dig about, oh, they're probably going to think you're after their benefits. And it's like, oh, right, sorry, I forgot it was politically viewpointed there. Sorry, thank you for reminding me that it's actually Doctor Who story second to... It's every time you started to forget, it was like, oh, no, immigration, don't forget. Benefits, I mean, for people aren't in the UK, benefits a very, very big debate in the UK. It's every day on the news, you know, is it right or wrong? And you can't even watch Doctor Who without a Doctor Who slapping me around the face telling me about benefits. It's, geez, come on.
How is that council house application going?
Terrible, because there's too many people in the country.
Ricardo Martins, it is something a little bit different comment here. Ricardo Martins says, thank God I wasn't the only one seeing lots of subliminal message in the episode. I don't think that's subliminal, but yeah, I take your point. And and he said, this is an interesting comment here. He says, and there were lots of numbers in this episode in the background. I'm not a numerologist, but there were lots of numbers, and the drone thing also. And yes, I get that impression of watch out, but maybe this is my favorite episode this season. Because this is the thing, lots of people in the comments that going on Bob here have said, yeah, there may be an issue with the topics or this, that, but lots of people are really enjoying this episode. But I'm really interested in this numbers thing. Did you spot this numbers thing?
No, I didn't spot it. I might have to go back and look out for numbers.
I can't watch it again. I'll be appalled all over again. I can watch the whole thing on mute and just look for numbers.
I can definitely watch it from when Clara goes evil and starts putting that people's faces.
But number, I didn't spot anything on that on.
No. I mean, I you know what, Addy? I can tell I'm getting old because when I was younger and people disagreed with me on trivial entertainment programs like this,
yeah,
I almost becomes like, what? What do you mean? But I like it that everyone's got a different opinion. It's nice. Even though I hated it, I'm glad someone got some enjoyment out of it. So I'm not, I'm a new man. You'd be surprised because you know how opinionated I am. I'm surprised.
Actually, you're full the internet. Anyway.
I'm surprised people got something out of it. So I'm happy. Good. I didn't, unfortunately. But then again, I liked the Girl That Lived, and a lot of people didn't like that one. So,
well, it has, especially on this series, I have been exposed to just how differently people can feel about the same thing.
Mm. What's your two favourite episodes so far? Or your one, or you know, any of the two parts? What's your favourite?
I really liked the first four episodes, and I didn't really like the two after that, and that this one, obviously we've just talked about it. I don't know about Between Davros and the Ghost one. I don't know. I'd have to think about it. But all those first four episodes, I thought were really good.
I'd probably have to go with the Ghosts ones. I thought that was, especially the ending and the question and all that stuff. I like that. That was good. It was clever.
Both of them had little things that I thought let it down. Is the thing.
Oh yeah.
The Ghosts one I thought was great, but I didn't really like that big, in quite scary bad guy at the end, just kind of wandering out and getting hit by a load of water. And in the Davros one, I thought the final reveal of Davros being evil all along spoiled a lot of the dialogue that kind of led up to it. You know, but I'm being picky. Any more comments here? Daniel Wexley says, as ever, I'm reserving judgment for part two, only more so since, as you say, what is the message here? And Boomtime has responded to that, saying, I think they've worked out a way to not demonize the entire race. I assume that's not. Sci-fi has always done this sort of stuff, and I think it's a great way to get kids interested in geopolitics. Fair point. You know, I mean, maybe the idea here is that everyone watches this first episode and all the kids go, oh, man, those aliens, they're really evil, they're really bad. And then, you know, some sort of conversation goes on with their parents and they go, man, immigrants, man, ISIS, it's terrible, blah, 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 blah. And then they all watch next week's episode where it's undone slightly and all the kids go, oh, I've had an epiphany or a realization, or I'm suddenly seeing things from a different side. And that's a fair point. You know, that is, Boomtown and Daniel Wexley, I think, you know, we haven't seen the whole thing, and it may be a cleverer way of doing that, we think, than it's, and it's a deliberate choice to make the episodes push in different directions.
Yeah, I get that. I've got two kids that have, one's just getting to the very opinionated age, and I've got a teenager. And as a teacher yourself, you know this. You know when they really, really, nope, this is it, this is the thing. And you just really go, oh, okay, what about this little point? And they go, oh. And they just think, and it's completely fun, destroyed. It's yeah, cool, like, and they go, oh, hang on. Yeah, like any big major like thing they have, like religion or, you know, pro-life, you know, it, all that kind of stuff. If they're so for it and you go, okay, what about this one point? Oh, well, that's the exception. And then they just start fumbling and they tell you to go away. You've messed with their head. I do that. That's fun.
James Greaves says, and James Greaves, please change your privacy settings because I can't reply to you, says, now that that's done, calm down. There's no need to get so worked up about a TV program and some parallels it makes to real life. Some people think it's too much, fine. Don't like, don't watch. But comparing a secret government conspiracy housing strange individuals that have tried to take over the world several times to the immigration crisis, are the refugees evil now? There's a significant difference between having hostiles living among you than people fleeing conflict. Maybe I did overreact. I don't know. It's hard to tell. But then again, I'm that kind of a person. You know, I do it at work and life as well. I speak up when others don't, and that's a bad thing and it's a good thing depending on the situation. But I am one of those people that kind of goes, no, this is what I think.
I'm like that as well. But
I'm aware that lots of other people would have dealt with it a lot more calmly and not made past comments. So I accept, James, from you that other people would be a lot calmer about it. But that's what I do. This one's going to get you going because you're going to agree with them. Derp Hen says, why were none of the unit soldiers shooting at the Zygons when they were ambushed in the big reveal?
Yes. Just don't get me started. Unit is obviously the most incompetent military unit ever. Sorry, unit twice. But, you know, they're just this episode. Have they ever been able to deal with a situation on their own? Ever that we know of? Just nothing. They're just so bad. They're just terrible. Especially the bit outside that building when it was the mum situation. Oh God. I was watching it. I was just are you joking? He knows it's a Zygon. He went there. Right. There's Zygons in that building and they're going to come out and they're probably going to look like someone you care about. Well, like my mum. Yeah. Just like your mum. Oh, look, it's my mum. No, it's not. I just told you it's you idiot. Oh God. So stupid. Oh man. You know how much this is annoying me. You're laughing because you know I'm a nitpicker at the best of times.
You're right. You know, they hadn't been told. They had been told that they will appear as your nearest and dearest. It's my mum in that joke. What the hell?
I still want to know, going back years, why Matt Smith regenerated on the beach when River shot him if he didn't have a regeneration left when it was time for him to regenerate. So you can imagine, you can imagine how much this stupid soldier and all the people behind him, no one behind him went, yeah, hey, dude, you know that's not your mum yet. You know that's a big sucky alien thing. No one said anything. Oh, jeez. I actually just slapped my head for real there. Didn't mean to.
The last comment from YouTube, and thank you to all of the people I've used their comments from tonight. I disagree with your interpretation of the social commentary. They showed us the hate-filled posters, the difficult living, and the disregard for the loss of life from the law enforcement and how those things negatively affected the aliens. They gave us a speech about a child's confusion resulting in death. My take was that they were showing us the dehumanizing way we treat those who are different and how those actions can result in a revolution that is perhaps more justified than we think. I believe we will find the full truth of what's been done to them next episode, but I also... Ooh, I can't seem to see the whole comment for some reason. Sorry, I can't see the whole thing, but I also see something. Something she says very much so. But that's interesting. That's actually almost going completely the other way in saying that the episode did portray the Zygons more sympathetically and saying that humans were shown treating them badly, which led to the situation in the first place. See that, and I still I see the bits that she's referring to.
But yeah, like when she said it's going to bomb everywhere and all that kind of stuff.
Focuses of it. Sorry.
Yeah, I get where she's coming from. But this is why it's such, because it's so current, it's such a hard thing to tackle on Doctor Who of all programs. Because, yes, you shouldn't go around blanket bombing people to try and get certain people, because you are going to radicalize everyone else who maybe has a little bit of sympathy for said group. Hmm. But then again, you can't also open borders to people and let everyone in when you know said people have said they're going to come and do bad things. It's just a minefield of a subject. There is so many rights and wrongs on both sides, and it's very hard for a sci-fi program to tackle it when it's happening right now.
Get the impression, though, I mean, maybe I'm rose-tinted glasses and all that kind of stuff. If you're going to laugh at my face. If Star Trek The Next Generation and Picard was handling this issue, it would have been done a lot better. Like, they could have still tackled that, the same issue, but done it in a way that sat down the middle a lot more and had the characters having more dilemmas about how to do it. Maybe I'm, maybe not.
Well, no, that was, I mean, I'm not a bigger Star Trek
and all that kind of stuff.
I'm not a bigger Star Trek fan as you, but one thing I do know about it is that they've always been like renowned for dealing with these kind of subjects very well on their programs, like religion and, you know, and like homosexuals and different races, and everything has been tackled on even the early 60s stuff, tackled so many subjects. And it was very, very good. And they didn't have to have a little pretend ISIS flag on there. I know I keep coming back to this flag. I know I keep coming back to the flag, but that's the laziest bit. It could have been any other flag. It's just annoying me.
Speaking of which, as we've now got 50 minutes left to not talk about this particular debate, there's a new Star Trek series coming out.
Oh, I heard it was rumoured. Is that confirmed?
It's confirmed. It's not going to be out till January 2017.
Okay.
It is on the way, which is cool. Very cool. They haven't really released any details yet. So, you know, you're already talking very vague terms. But is this good news for you, or do you not care?
Yeah, the last one I watched was Deep Space Nine. I haven't really watched anything apart from that and the films and stuff. So I probably will give this a go because you can't really call yourself 100% like geek fanboy unless you watch some Star Trek properly. But it's going to make my TV viewing very busy. It's got so many programs I want to watch. It's getting ridiculous.
I think it's good because the two recent movies, I think, have been decent. I don't think they've been world-shattering, but I think they've been decent. But in the movies, you're not going to be able to tackle the more, I mean, just like we've been talking about today, the kind of the social issues, which actually Deep Space Nine and Enterprise and New Generation, you know, in between the space battle episodes, dealt with intriguing side issues or, you know, like what the social issues, like last thing I was saying. And I think the advantage of going back to a series format is you'll be able to see a far wider variety of things than just space battles and Khan and things like that. And that's not to say those are bad, those episodes are great, but the variety will hopefully come back.
I
watched the whole of Enterprise with Clary a couple of years ago, and I really, really wanted to like Enterprise. I really did. And I really liked, I'd read various reviews that Enterprise started dodgily and then got better and better and better and better, and that Series 4 was one of the greatest ones ever. So I was watching this whole thing with Clary being like, don't worry, it's about to get awesome. Don't worry, it's about to get awesome. And it was like me and you playing squash, you know, when one of those nasty shots come in and I'm like, wait for it, wait for it, wait for it, wait for it.
Wait.
Wait. And then the ball bounces twice and it's gone. I got to the end of Star Trek Enterprise and we got there and I was like, oh, yeah, no, that was just with minor high spots here and there. That was just pretty dire all the way through. So I hope it's good when it comes back.
Yeah, I hate when the series do that, when you hear, oh no, it gets good, you have to give it a couple of, I'm doing that with Gotham at the moment. I watched the first three episodes when it first came out and I was like, this is terrible. And I love Batman. You know, I'd break my whole heterosexual thing for Batman. But now I'm three more in and I'm like, let me just check the internet to see when it actually gets good because this is terrible. I wonder what universe this is going to be set in. I wonder if it's going to be linked to the films or the old films or anything.
And future and past and time frame and space stations or shit. I mean, there's loads of questions. I guess this will have to be a wait and see job. I mean, the most recent series was Enterprise, which was obviously based around a ship exploring space. And then before that, we had Deep Space Nine, which was based around a space station. Deep Space Nine actually has a better reputation amongst the fans than Enterprise does. But there's something about being in a ship, you know, Star Trek. Actually, no, wait, I've forgotten a series. I've forgotten Voyager. I forgot the whole of Voyager. Sorry. The two most recent series were exploring. I don't know. I honestly don't know. There's something about flying around in a ship, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, that's why. Have you ever watched Battlestar Galactica, the remake series?
But I'm aware that, again, it has a good reputation. But things have a good reputation.
Okay, everyone, Addy has to go and watch that right now because he's missing out on some good television. That was so good. Someone told me about it at work like years ago. And they were like, oh, you've got to watch this. And I was like, oh, I didn't really like the original. He's like, oh, forget the original. Put the original out of your mind. You need to go and watch this. And I think by five episodes in, I was like, oh, I need to watch the next. One of the things where it's 2 o'clock in the morning, you're like, really, should I watch one more though? Shall I? And then, you know, the next day you're going to be dead. But yeah, go and watch that. Anyone listening as well, if you haven't watched that, watch it now.
The Shadow 712 just said that it's going to be on the new Star Trek timeline. I mean, without being a little bit gloomy, most of the old original series Star Trek actors are dying or dead, so you couldn't, if they set it in a universe with something else, there's going to be a lot less kind of people around that to kind of drop in.
Yeah, exactly. If they can get some of the cast from the film to drop in, like it happens occasionally in S.H.I.E.L.D., Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and all that kind of stuff, yeah, then that'd be cool. I'll definitely give that a go.
You said we got 10 minutes left. You said we had some sporadic questions.
Yes, we got... let me get this one up. Robert Dowd, what is the worst video game sequel ever that we've ever played? Video, do you want to go first, sequel, or shall I? Sequel to a game. So what game did come out and we loved it? And then, you know, the next one's come out and you're like, what?
Well, I mean, the easy answer would be something like Call of Duty, where the sequel is just basically a rehash. But sometimes rehashes are good, because if you want more of the same, they give you more of the same. The problem with Call of Duty is that when it gets to the fourth more of the same, you begin to feel that you're just spending quite a lot of money on nothing.
Yeah, sport games. Actually, some game, when games do that, that's normally when they have yearly versions and it turns out it's an annual thing. Normally when they try to change something and everyone's so used to that same thing, that's the thing that messes up. Like Unity, they tried to change so much in Assassin's Creed Unity and it wasn't very good. It wasn't terrible. It wasn't as bad as everyone made out, but it definitely lost the sense of fun to it. I'm trying to think of all time though. It's a hard question. I remember...
I haven't had time to think about it too much, but... one of the Monkey Island, I loved Monkey Island, the first Monkey Island. I played it as a kid and I laughed and I laughed and I laughed. And I actually replayed it a couple of years ago and I could almost remember all the puzzles because it had such an impact on me. And it was just so in tune with my humor. And oh God, sword master of Melee Island, TM, and rubber chickens and putting wax lips on a yak. I mean, if anyone's played the game, then you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. And if you won't, you've got no idea. And then Monkey Island 2 came out, which was LeChuck's Revenge. It wasn't quite as good, but it was still very good and highly enjoyable and stuff. And then the characters started to talk in I think it was the third one. And that, I never completed another Monkey Island after the second one because it just seemed to lose the humor. And I think it might have tried to go on 3D or the point and clickness of it changed, or maybe I just got older. But to me, that I was really looking forward for Monkey Island. I think I actually bought it it must have come out when I started dating Clara back at university, because I remember being like, you know, when you're really excited to show someone something and you're like, you know, wait for it, look, and then you load up a big turd.
Like normally, like when we tried to justify wrestling to someone and we picked the worst moment ever to do it.
What's your thought? Have you thought of a dodgy sequel?
Oh, I've got a couple that I remember. I remember really loving Spider-Man 2, the movie game, and it came out. And it was the first free roaming city Spider-Man game. And I was like, this is amazing. And the next one came out, and it was terrible. It was so bad. I took it back the same day when you could take back games before they said, oh, no, sorry, you can't take back games. It was appalling. And I used to be, I don't play many soccer or football games, as it's called in the UK, but I... FIFA was brilliant and then it went terrible and it went got good. It's gone back to bad now, apparently. But when it first went to bad from good, I was like, what? Everything. It's like they went through the game and went, right, what else is good? Oh, I like the way you pass. And that, oh, right, change that. So that ball bounces off their feet and goes off every time. Yep. Okay, cool. Right. Now what? Okay. Make it, when you shoot, always miss. Okay. That's brilliant. Okay. They went through it with a checklist, destroying the game. I don't understand that. But
I suppose there's some of the Street Fighters, you know, like how amazing Street Fighter 2 was.
Oh, there's a good one. Street Fighter 3D. That was pants. I hated that. Yeah. Good one. You just reminded me of that one. But I can't think of anything. There's got to be some games. I remember like bad games I've played and some of the worst games I've played. But sequels, that's a hard one.
I think computer game sequels in general are more consistent than movie sequels, because in a movie sequel, you have to show something that is similar enough to be a sequel, but different enough to still be something that's completely new. Because in a movie, you want something that's new. You don't want to watch the same movie again because you've already seen it. Whereas with a computer game, if you've loved something, you are actually a lot more content and happy to just have more of the same, you know, with a little bit more graphics and a slightly new plot and things like that. So I think it's
Exactly.
I think there's probably less dodgy sequels in computer games because you can just build on what's already there rather than having to do something new that you would in a movie sequel.
I've got a prediction which could be a really bad game sequel, which I'm still not convinced on. That new Far Cry, Primeval, whatever it's called. I'm still not convinced on that bad boy. I think that's got the potential to suck bums big time. No vehicles. No grenade launchers, no helicopters, no machine guns.
Well, Agrajax just mentioned Far Cry 4. I mean, I said I'll say a review on that one. I loved Far Cry 4, the gameplay, but the plotline was terrible. So I don't know. That definitely wasn't my most disappointing sequel, because the gameplay wasn't disappointing at all.
I disagree with that. I like Far Cry 4. It's not as good as, I admit, it's not as good as Far Cry 3. But the gameplay is, but the story's not. So it's hard to kind of tell. But no, I'd agree to disagree there.
Good question.
In other words, you're wrong, I'm right.
Thank you, Robert. And we should probably end our little show there. No, I haven't got anything to follow that.
No, you haven't got anything to say? Cool.
The latest news on Legacy for Thursday is that there may well be a show, but I won't be around. But, you know, watch this space. Or, in fact, literally watch this space and see if something turns up. I believe Hawkeye's doing his little Lego things tomorrow night. And of course, I'm Claire is away at the weekend, so that obviously means Addy will game and get cider. Maybe we'll do some more Jackbox party games and things as well. For those of you listening to the podcast, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Please recommend it to your friends and keep downloading it. And we hope you enjoyed our discussion on the controversies of Doctor Who today. And of course, do feel to chip in the comments on this video.
And let's get some more followers on Twitter. People, follow us at SpudaddyCast.
I'll type that into the chat. At SpudAddyCast. Are you still tweeting out regularly from there?
As much as I can. I keep forgetting to do meme Mondays because I'm at work, and it's like, oh, hang on, I forgot about that, Dan. But the more followers, then I feel more obliged to, damn it.
Good. Cool. Well, thank you for coming, everyone. Hope you've enjoyed the stuff, and we'll see you guys real soon. Do you wanna sign off in a slightly seductive way?
You put me on the spot. It's Tuesday night. It's Spudaddy. That's not sexy, but it was.
It's accurate. Dramatic. Yeah, that's what I sound like when I'm trying to be sexy. But that's actually my line.
You just burst. You just burst into the room. It's Friday night. It's Addy.
And we'll see you next week. Here's the song, and we'll catch you soon. Bye bye.
Spudaddy, you spud and I'm Addy. Just listen, you'll glisten, cause you'll be so happy. Our podcast is random talk on this and on that. But what did you expect from potatoes and fat? Yeah, what did you expect from potatoes and fat?